Hello and welcome to another Connecting Consciousness podcast. This is going out on the 3rd of the month, 3rd of June. So I'm really pleased to be back in front of you all, giving you updates and taking your questions. So what we'll do, first of all, is just to have a couple of questions that had already come in. The first one was saying, do these go out on YouTube or can we watch them live? Presently they're recorded, but we will be doing them live. And at the moment they're on YouTube, and even though they'll be done live in about a couple of weeks or 3 weeks' time, they'll still go onto YouTube. So the answer is yes. Even if you miss a live update, then it will go onto YouTube. The second point, a number of people have been asking, what happened to the Connecting Consciousness YouTube site? And the fact of the matter is that that was an unofficial page. It had nothing to do with me. Someone had just set it up. And in fact, there were a number of copycat sites, some were on Facebook, some were on YouTube, purporting to be run with my permission. And a number of, obviously, people are writing in hoping to speak to me and getting no reply. Now, they've all been taken down. If anybody is aware of any sites that are being put up without my okaying it, please, you know, just let us know, and we'll take care of that. So there is an official Simon Parks website. And if you go through the website, then you can find everything that's meant to be linked into the website. So thank you for that. All right, so I want to do some updates. Last couple of times, we've talked quite a lot about local issues. And I thought it was probably best, as things were heating up a bit on the world stage, to go to that. When we talk about bloodlines, we talk about power games between Europe and the States. And in America, obviously, with the interesting President Trump, that's really made quite a lot of difference. And the divisions between the United States and Europe have become quite stark. And one of the things we're noticing is, for instance, the trade war. That's just one aspect of how the White House is trying to attack not ordinary people, but of course ordinary people will suffer, I'm afraid, but trying to put pressure on the elites in the European area. So Turkey and Germany are trying to form an alliance. They did actually just before the First World War. They have had a long history of working together. And this is because Angela Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany, who is one of the old guard, is trying to organize some form of war in terms of issues that are going to come up in Turkey in the very near future. Remember, Turkey is a country that has a very diverse religious base, and is open to suggestions, I think, from a country like Germany. So that's worth keeping an eye on to see what happens there. And the other thing is Italy. You've been probably watching that. The president, when he realized that it was not going to be possible to get the coalition government into power, he wanted to do what they all do, which is try and appoint an ex-banker. So he tried to appoint an ex-International Monetary Fund banker to become the new prime minister, at which point the Five Star and the League, which are the two major parties in Italy that won most votes, but didn't get enough to form an outright government. The League and Five Star decided that they could work together. They formed a coalition. And indeed, they are running the country. Now, why that's really important is because, first of all, they're anti-European. So they're anti-Europe, just as Great Britain is anti-Europe, and we voted to leave. So Italy now has a government that's very, very anti-Europe. And interestingly enough, has actually publicly come out and said that President Putin is not such a bad guy, and they would quite like to have good relations with Russia. And that's really upset a lot of the other European countries, like Great Britain with Theresa May, a very extreme right-wing prime minister, Chancellor of Germany, etc., etc. So you now have a party in Italy that is anti-Europe and is pro-Putin. What a turnaround for the books that was. I want to talk about Harvey Weinstein. That's an interesting one. because it's been over 6 months that the charges in court have been coming through and dropping out, coming through and dropping out. And eventually the charges have come through. And that's very important because in his head, shall we say, he's got a number of names of people that he could really drop into the pit. And there must be a great deal of people who are incredibly concerned because he could indict a large number of people. And that's very interesting. There may be some attempts to try and get to him, but I would imagine that the protection around him is pretty secure at the moment. We move on to the same sort of issue, actually, which is to do with when are all these hopeful or supposed arrests going to start. The Supreme Court in the US is just about to replace one of its supreme judges, and the new one is going to be sworn in very soon. Now, when that happens, President Trump will have a majority in terms of political beliefs and values and aspirations in the Supreme Court. A number of judges, of course, each president comes in and appoints his or her own. So Obama appointed judges who were very favorable to the views and values that Obama had. Now, one of those is ready for renewal, and clearly it won't be somebody from the Obama camp, it will be someone from the Trump camp, which will give him a majority of about one in the Supreme Court. Now, I would suggest that if there were going to be opening of the sealed indictments, that's what they've been waiting for. They've been waiting for a majority in the Supreme Court, because there will be challenges, lots of legal challenges, and you can't afford to do that unless you've got control of the Supreme Court. So please watch that one. That's really important to see how that goes. With the change that will bring and the hoped for arrest warrants, what we'll see is a cultural change in Hollywood, a cultural change in music videos. What I would describe, and I mean it seriously, and I don't mean it in a joke fashion, a return to humble apple pie. In other words, the United States returning back, whether it's halcyon days or rose-tinted glasses, but returning back to the values of the 50s and 60s. Now, that may not be a good thing in some cases, but what I'm trying to put across is that the satanic influence through the media and through the entertainment industry, which has really built since the 1980s, if these things can work through, then they will actually die a death, and there'll be a return to more basic values without that element that we just now... You can't switch on a television without seeing some element of that cult coming through. So that's really important that we see that. The other one is Jeff Epstein. He's a very interesting character. He's had a lot of ears of people in very high positions and high powers. And at the moment, he's reporting directly to Mueller. Mueller is the head of the FBI. And Epstein's got some very interesting information, which Robert Mueller is obviously collating and taking. So there's another aspect now of somebody else who's been very high up in positions of power, who is able to have access to the White House through an appropriate channel, which is the police, through the FBI. That's really important. There's a question that's been asked time and time again about Trump, whether Trump was selling out to people. And I've always said that he's not actually selling out. He does have his values. And the attack on paedophilia is one such value he's got. But I certainly agree that the Zionist faction has tried to exert as much influence over him as they possibly could. He agreed to having Jerusalem being recognized by the United States as the capital of Israel, the only country to do so. But it didn't really have any effect, and Trump could actually give that one away without a problem. More seriously was obviously the refusal by Congress to allow the Golan to be considered to be part of Israel, and also any potential attack against Iran would have to go through Congress. Now, Trump knew all of that when he was, you know, looking at these issues. So it's difficult for Trump because the only group that has any hold over him is the Zionist. And remember, there's a big difference between the Jewish state and the Zionist group. So we shouldn't ever confuse the two. It's a little bit like saying, what's the difference between a Muslim and a jihadist? So we need to understand that there is a government within a government, as indeed there is in almost every country on the planet. I want to talk a little bit about Spain. You may not have caught the news, but the Spanish Prime Minister has been forced to resign. He had a vote of no confidence against him. He was quite right-wing, conservative, and he's been replaced by a more left-leaning leader. So we've had two changes in two European countries in a week. Not quite the same day, but not far off it. Now, that just shows the volatility of the European situation. So whenever you pick up a newspaper that says everything's going great, steady as she goes, no need to worry, that's actual propaganda. Europe is in a terrible state, not just economically, but politically. And that's why we've seen two major heads of state change. So that again, is something to keep an eye on, because, you know, people will say, well, what difference does it make if something happens that's thousands of miles away from me? But imagine a whole line of dominoes and one gets knocked and they all cascade down. So whatever happens to our neighbour has some effect on us. So it is worth watching it and keeping through. The trade war, of course, between America, we mentioned that earlier. The difficulty is that ordinary people do suffer. Here in Great Britain, it will add maybe 25% to the price of steel. So if Britain wants to sell steel to the US, it'll be a 25% hike. I think something like 10% on aluminium, which will have quite a devastating effect. But this is never designed to hurt people. It was designed to put pressure on the old guard. We talk about the old guard in Europe as opposed to the new guard in the White House. So I think basically that's it on a global scale. There are changes occurring. Again, my usual warning, you know, don't imagine that the war is won, that everything's okay. It's clearly not. There are still chemtrails in the sky. There are still bad guys out there. But yes, there are some big changes occurring. Now, some of it is off camera, but some of it is on camera. And, you know, when I and others give you the information, if you go on to the mainstream news, they can't always hide it. They can't always, you know, blank it out. And there is usually something there to back up what you're being told by the truthful media. So what I'm saying is there are real positive changes coming. We can feel them, but it's still a very, very tricky situation. So that's the update at the moment. So what I'm going to do is to bring Rebecca in and see if she's there and hopefully get some questions.
Okay, the first question is from Pradesh. And in fact, reading through it, there are two questions, so I'll do one at a time. Okay. Also, I'll try and paraphrase it because it's not written in a way that's very easy to read out. I'm sure you must have heard about Jordan Maxwell. He says that there was no man called Jesus and Christianity. Judaism comes from a parent religion called Hinduism, and he says these religions are nothing but the sun, Saturn, moon worship, in brackets, moon is an alien command centre. Okay, that's the first part.
Well, let's just take that one, and, okay. And just on cue there, mm-hmm. you won't be able to see that, Becky, but the cat Ingmar has just done a nice turnaround on the desk there for the audience. You know, I obviously offer them treats and tell them if they behave nicely and perform they on camera, they you know, they get rewarded. Not really. It's just nice. They feel so much at home when you're doing the recordings. This is something that a lot of people get fixated on. I was going to say hot under the collar, but that's not a really good thing to say. The difficulty is that there's so much fakery around that time. And the way it's been presented to us, it's all part of the control system, and I don't doubt that at all, purely woven in to be part of the control system. I do actually believe that there was a guy called Jesus, and I believe that there is a kernel of truth in the Bible. I certainly believe that the sun and the moon are very much linked in and part of that control element. But what I would say is that the creation of Jesus and the events around that were made to fit the paradigm. The paradigm was already there. So when the Jesus character came along, he was already playing within a confined box. And all later historians or Bibleologists had to do was to, over a period of centuries, was to slowly begin to move that more towards the message they wanted to get out. And if you do it gently over many centuries, then the public don't really react to it. I mean, the last big one, I think, in Britain was the King James official version, which is the 17th century. So I do believe in Jesus, absolutely, and I do believe in some of the elements of the Bible, but I fully accept that it was woven in to hold people down and control people. The reason that we can have some faith that there was a Jesus character is the stories such as going into the money changer's tent or home and overturning the tables with the money. It wasn't the money that Jesus objected to so much, or the fact that money was being lent. What Jesus objected to was the extortionate profit, the racketeering that was being done. You had people, as just you do in this day, who cannot get a loan from the bank at a normal, I won't say average, but a normal rate of interest. And so they were desperate, and so they were being charged a huge amount of interest. And so that's what Jesus was up against. Now, the control system wouldn't want to peddle that view. The control system would want to support the view that there was a money changer and it was perfectly okay, and yeah, the prices were quite high, but you know, at least you've got that. So what he was doing was anti the system, anti the control system. So we need to look at it very carefully and understand that possibly what happened was that Jesus turned against the script that he'd been given. And the way he performed was not to expectations. And so like with many things that don't do what you want, you get rid of them. So that's my answer there. Thank you. It is a big question.
Okay, thanks. And in the second part, it's quite different. It says, in a female reptilian interview around the year 2000 called the Lacerta Files, she, a female reptilian, says that we are the seventh civilization created around 8,000 years ago in Sumer. She also says that the ruins of the sixth civilization can be found in the Bimini area, in brackets, pyramids larger than Giza pyramids. She says that Elohim in the Bible, and then it just says, Anunnaki are tall humanoids from Aldebaran system, and they came around 350,000 years ago.
I don't have a problem with much of that. I would just say 250,000 rather than 350,000. Aldebaran, yes, no problem with that. Absolutely no difficulty at all. What was the first bit again? Because that was a bit I had an issue with.
The female reptilian having the interview, right, called the Lacerta Files.
Okay.
It's quite famous.
Yeah. Well, I forgot what the question was then.
It was just that the female reptilian says that we are the seventh civilization,
right,
created around 8,000 years ago in Sumer.
Right. Anyone who's got a bit of a good memory and has listened to me may remember that for a number of years I've said this is the seventh time that humanity has reached this point. Now, what I think that this is quite a high-ranking female reptilian, she's part of the royal family, actually, who's splintered away. She's not part of the control group. What she's referring to there isn't just the physical. If you think about Summa, one city layer and then another city layer was built on top of it. And when the archaeologists were digging down, they were digging down through these ruins. But remember that they were artificially altered because the Sumerian tablets were artificially placed at a certain level. So we have to be very careful of archaeology just because it's stratified, one layer is below another. We have to be careful not just to accept that. And so it is that sometimes we're given, not an analogy so much, but we're given something that, because we're on a physical planet, we like to look on the physical world. This is the seventh time that humanity has reached a position where it could potentially break free. This is what I believe this reptilian is saying. But this is the first time, 2012, December 31st, 2012, the first time that the human race actually broke that barrier. Go back to The Matrix, where Neo, in the final version, the third film, was actually told that there were so many times, I think it was six or seven, that you know you have reached this point, but at the last minute you fall down again. And there was another snippet of real, true disclosure coming out through Hollywood. So I think what she's referring to is that this is the seventh time that the human race has built up its civilization, changed that to its consciousness, and it has appeared that every other time it's fallen and collapsed. And you think about the mound on Summa, it's just collapsed in on itself. But this is the time when that doesn't happen. This is the time when we come forward. And you know that is interesting that I think it was the year 2000 that it was reported from her. So I'm quite happy to take that as absolute fact, but I would just change it in the way I had. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Hock Yo of Malaysia asks, is it safe to use the correct pentagram with one point at the top and two points at the left and right as a protection symbol?
That's a really difficult question. It is not safe to use a pentagram, full stop. So let me start off with that. all right, if you are trained in that art, it is safe providing you don't push the boundaries and you don't attempt to let your ego dominate you and you have both the right and the skill to operate that. Now, pentagrams are seen as black magic, and that's not the way to look at it. Black magic just means occult magic, hidden magic. That's what black ops, black programs, hidden. But of course, in the media and the New Age, will look at that as evil, satanic. So black magic is seen as satanic, and this is not accurate. But that is the way that it's seen. I wouldn't and don't have anything that's a pentagram in my home. I wouldn't have that. The difficulty with pentagrams is that other energies can come through and take control of the person. Anybody who has a tattoo of a pentagram on them, if you know them quite well, you would ask them, why did they choose it? Why did they decide to have a pentagram? What was important to them? Why would you need to advertise the fact that you have a pentagram? And it's not going to be the first time that a person has been absolutely controlled or taken over because they had a tattoo or a pentagram emblazoned somewhere on their body, which allowed an entity to come through into them and control them. So I personally would be very wary of anybody who had a pentagram tattooed on their body. I know it's reasonably seen as okay. There's some forms of Wiccan that use them. They'll have them necklaces. But no disrespect, most of the people that have them don't know how to use them. So they're drawn to it because it's partly fashionable, because it's a sign of Wiccan. The reality is that it is the base stone for summoning and communing with demons. That's exactly what it is. You know, we see different forms of the pentagram on flags, on logos for corporations, etc., etc. So when I'm asked by this person, is it safe? I can't answer that question in the positive because I don't know your skills and your capabilities. Why would you want to use a pentagram to protect yourself? You are going into the other world. It is much better to call out to Source, Archangel Michael, or whatever you want, your higher self, and to believe in your truth than it is to use magic. Now, there are occasions when it is appropriate to use something like that. If, for instance, you're faced by a particularly powerful Denzian, a demon demigod, who has no interest in human free will and can only be controlled or pushed back by the forces that it is subject to itself, then using a pentagram or whatever else is appropriate, providing the person wielding that is doing it for good purposes. So my answer is to you, no, it's not safe to use it unless you have both the right and the strength to use that and come away untainted. It's a good question. Lots of people dabble in magic, the black arts, shall we say, and lots of people become infected with demons. I never actually sat down and done a calculation, but of the clients who come to me for demon removal, somewhere between 50 and 65% got them from playing around with a Ouija board. Literally, just a Ouija board. You don't even have to touch the thing. You come within 3 feet of it and you're a very, very psychic person. Then that acts as a portal and you can be infected. So whenever we use anything from the occult, you have to have been trained or you have to have both the right and the strength, which is different. You know, there are Hogwarts magic schools. There really are. But there isn't a Harry Potter. But there really are magic schools where people can go and get trained. And there are two sorts of people on this planet. Those that go to magic school and learn. And those that just have it naturally. And unless you've gone to one of those two, if you start playing around with things, then it can bite you. It's a good question. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. This next question is from Pradesh, who'd asked the first question. And he says, but you say that the Anunnaki are reptilians. Please comment upon this. Who created us? Reptilians, greys, mantis, Pleiadians, and many countless ETs? And what are the beliefs about God to the greys, reptilians, and mantis?
Okay, I don't believe I've ever said that the Anunnaki were reptilian. I think what I've said is the Anunnaki were a mixture of humans and reptilians. It was a genetic mix. I've never personally seen them as 100% reptilian. So I'll just get that one clear. In terms of beliefs of God, that's a really, really interesting question, because let's take your archetypal grey that has no soul in its body. And you ask it, is there a God? If you ask a computer that has no soul, is there a God? It will try and quantify that by giving a mathematical formula. It won't be able to use any spiritual divination. It will just simply look at facts and logic and probably say, no, there's no such thing as God because there is no evidence for it. So if you were to ask a grey of the Hollywood type about God, they would say that they have no knowledge of that, but they are aware of one that is greater than them. That's about the gist of it. But if you were to speak to a grey that had a soul, and it would absolutely have no problem. Many of the off-planet entities that I've spoken to, they don't use the word God. That's a difficult word when dealing with humans, because many thousands of years ago, the reptilians presented themselves as gods. To humans. And so when talking to aliens now, They don't like to present themselves as gods because the mindset of humanity has moved on. We won't accept them as gods. So they don't use the word God. They, for me personally, they've just used the word the great creator. So they've called God the great creator. It's quite interesting that here on this planet Earth, with the Bible and the mindset of religion that stuck right back all those thousands of years ago, we use the word God as an everyday language, but most of the aliens do not use the word God, great creator. Now, obviously, those of us who are spiritual, we use the word source. I think there was a middle question which I missed out there. The middle bit.
Sorry, I've moved on to the next one.
Okay, go on to the next one. This is why it's important that we could just have one question, because I can't remember.
And sometimes they're not very, very clear to read, but...
Well, we do our best.
It's not too bad.
We do our best. What's the next one?
Okay, this next one is from Linda, who says, I'm very serious about this question. Why are there so many dogman encounters in the past 5 years? Are they aliens or have they always been here? They don't seem to hurt most people, just terrify them. I've done a lot of research about this subject and can't seem to nail down any concrete facts about their origins. I'm so glad you are back. I love you and stand beside you.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Thank you. Yes, I laughed because it's true that the Canis or the dog people are on the increase. They're not on the increase because they're more of them. It's just that they are taking a much more open view. They've got a relatively new agreement with one arm of the US military, and that has given them some freedom, shall we say, to start interacting with key individuals. In 99% of cases, most people who have an interaction with one of these canis or dog beings, it's not chance. There'll be a reason for it. And if you were to look back through your family tree, there would be a reason why that particular group were coming to you. It could also be that you are having a problem with another alien race, and the Canis are interested because they are probably, if not at war, physically, diplomatically at war. And so what humans do is allow them to understand how the other side are operating. So I'm looking at the dog race, the Canis race, as a benevolent force. So you're absolutely right. They're on the increase in the sense that they are becoming more, you know, clearer to the public's eye. But they're still very targeted in who they deal with. I'm glad you're doing some research on that. But you want to look at the American military, because that's where they're getting the okay from. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Dan asks two questions. The first is, are the results for the Soccer World Cup 2018 already rigged? And the second is the revaluation of the Iraqi dinar for real?
Right. I have to admit, I absolutely no interest in soccer, which we call football, obviously. I don't want to confuse that with the American football, which we would call rugby. Isn't that strange? Two countries so similar in many ways, but so different in others. I have no interest in soccer at all. Is it already rigged? Probably not, because of all the corruption allegations that came to light the last few years in the soccer industry. People lost their jobs, etc., because human consciousness has risen, and these shady deals that have been going on in many companies or corporations ever since time began now are getting caught out. So actually might be one of the best World Cups in terms of clearness that we've had. Was there a second part to the question?
Is the revaluation of the Iraqi dinar for real?
I have been aware of this. I was aware of it, but I haven't had my eye focused on it, because my eye is focused on Iran. There are certain individuals who would love to start the Third World War in Iran. And so my attention has been very closely placed on Iran. If you may remember a good few years back now, where I talked about the drone that was forced to land in Iran, and it wasn't the Predator 2 drone that you see on calendars and on web pages. It was the Sentinel drone. And that was the one that contained the most advanced, amazing microcircuitry, the amazing chip. The Iranians claimed to have shot it down, but it wasn't. It was landed under control. Very difficult to say the technological advancement it gave the Iranians, something between 15 years and 25 years. When Roswell happened and the spacecraft, plural, crashed, we had what we call the valve, of course, and the Americans call the vacuum tube, and that was our staple product. And when shown what was in effect a wafer, a chip, and these chips are not like the silicon chips that we have. The original chips from the Roswell spacecraft were about an inch to an inch and a half square, and maybe a half an inch to a third of an inch in thickness. And the chips that we have today probably are equal to 25% of the computing power of those chips. So in the same way that the arrival of the technology from Roswell enhanced the world, so this Sentinel drone pushed Iran forward. And as soon as that happened, under Obama, of course, back then, the Americans had to withdraw. Nobody in the United States wants a war with Iran, but there are certain people in Israel who are desperate to try and take Iran out. Those of you who will remember a few years ago, well, many years ago now, the Iran-Iraq war, when Saddam Hussein was still there, Iraq had the technological advantage, believe it or not, over Iran. And in the early days, they started to do quite well. But what Iran had was, I can't say unlimited manpower, but jolly nearly so. And over the years of that war, months of that war, the Iranians began to beat back Saddam Hussein's forces. So Iran has shown itself to be very, very, very tough to beat. And Israel has its eye on it. And because Israel has its eye on it, I have my eye on it. If there was a devaluation in Iraq, it's not going to have a huge effect unless you've got the major country, which is the US and the oil and Russia, start doing anything. So I wouldn't get too concerned at the moment about that. Thank you.
Okay. Binny White says, please, can you comment on the document, The Protocols of the Illuminated Sons of the Golden Dawn? I think this is the ultimate deception, which the work of Trump and Q is part of. While the takedown of the cabal, etc., can only be a good thing, we have to be aware of what they might be replacing it with. The last part of the document is truly horrifying, and I urge you to read it. Thank you.
Well, let's hope the audience do have a look at that. We talked a little bit in the question update section where, you know, most leaders are under the control to some extent by other countries. And the only group that has any influence over Trump is the Zionist group. I'm not going to comment directly on any individual. What I will say is that human race will be at its most vulnerable when the status quo collapses. It's a vacuum stage. But my concern is not the Golden Dawn, it is artificial intelligence. That's my concern, 5G and artificial intelligence attempting to get into the vacuum. You see, you get this euphoric, we did it, we beat the cabal, hurrah, and then you take your eye off the ball, and that's when things happen. So I would see more to do with AI than I would anything else. The Golden Dawn, we have to be careful with this, because remember, this was an Aleister Crowley thing originally. It's actually also a political party in one of the European countries. They're actually called the Golden Dawn. And it is connected with magic, no doubt about it. And yes, I would have concerns about the document that you've brought to our attention, and I would ask people to read it. I don't subscribe to it myself. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Ian from Spain says, is it better for people to wake up on their own accord or to give them a little nudge? I've recently set up a Facebook page to post photos of chemtrails, in brackets, strange stripes in the sky, Costa del Sol. The local papers will investigate if I get enough interest. I see it as a little nudge.
If you are a spiritual person, you can't not but do it. You have to do it. If you know the truth, you've got to do it. That's one of the key reasons that I went public. I couldn't stand and I couldn't believe that, you know, that the truth was being hidden in such an organized and orchestrated way. What we can't do is try and drag people to it, because we just lose them. They'll just immediately say, don't push my face into it, you know, don't try and force me. And the people who come to it and stay to it are those that come out of their own free will. But what you can do is give them a help by giving them assistance. Now, what I can advise, and by all means, do your pictures of chemtrails, but that doesn't mean anything. You know, they've been going since the 1980s, and anybody in journalism, young people, they won't have been around that long, they know no different. So what you need to do, if I may suggest it, is first of all go to an archive, so it's a government or it's the own newspaper, so the very newspaper that you're interested in, and get official photographs that the newspaper or an official organization has taken that won't be about the sky. They might be about building, skyline, or what have you, but they have lots of pictures of the sky in, and actually show them in the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s, there were no chemtrails. So show them that the skies actually were blue, and explain what a vapor trail is. So try and get photographs of a genuine vapor trail from a jet, and then contrast that. So you need to date all your pictures, if you can, and contrast them with pictures from the recent decades, and say, what's happened here? The atmosphere, by and large, is the same. The sky is the same sort of color, by and large. So the only change must be the fuel, what's been mixed in with the fuel of these aircraft. So that is, I believe, the way to do that. And it hasn't been done, I don't believe. So you'll be on the first there. Please give that a go. And if you use official photographs, people can't blame you for or accuse you of trickery. And that, I think, would be a really good way of doing it. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. This next question, there's quite a few, are from Marianne from Quebec in Canada. She says she's very happy you've got a new radio show, and sorry for her English because she actually speaks French. But she says, do you think Prime Minister Jay Trudeau is a clone, and is he a good Prime Minister for us, or is he an evil one like H.R. Clinton and others?
Thank you first for your kind words. Thank you. I'm glad to be back. No, I don't think he's a clone. Generally, clones are not put in the public eye unless they can be very well shielded, hidden behind smoked glass. And, you know, remember that presidents and prime ministers have to attend meetings, whether they're small meetings or big public meetings. And if you've got a clone, you've got to be pretty damn sure that clone is confident, because once he or she goes up on stage, you know, you're not there to control them. I think that he can work with Trump, and I think that he is willing to break with the cabal, and as long as the United States can survive, I think he would want to be close there. So I don't know that he's a good for you, but what I would say is that of all the prime ministers that have been through that door in the last 20 odd years, he's the one most likely to have the strength to break with some of the control elements. But, you know, they can't all be 100%, but, you know, as long as the major points that we believe to be fundamental, you know, a line in the sand we won't cross, if we can stick to that, then he's the sort of man I think that can do business with. Thank you.
Okay, another question from her is, do you really think that one day the evil and elite cabal who run the planet will stop and end, and when, if yes?
Okay, I think I will answer it, but I think we should only really take one question, because it's not fair on everyone else, so I'll just take this as a second question. Mm-hmm. Otherwise it's not fair. You know, getting two bites of the cherry. I'll take it because you already started to ask it. Absolutely, of course. You know, if I truly, truly thought that there was no chance for us, I'd probably, I'm not very good, but I'd probably construct a little boat and just go off to some desert island somewhere and wait for it all to end. But I don't believe that. And I believe that there's something worth fighting for. I and many others like me are doing what we can in our own way. And you are at home as well, in your own way, doing what you can, believing in the future, hoping for the best, trusting in that. And so, no, I don't believe that we're all going to end up dead. I actually think we've got a good future, but we have to fight for it. Thank you. Next one.
Okay. Libby asks, right now, how many Dracos and reptilians are here on Earth?
You know, this is a question that comes up fairly regularly, and mm-hmm. I can understand why. You know, you go to certain places and you sort of tap the ground with your feet and you think, well, I wonder how many feet below me are there cavernous tunnels and what's moving around there now? I've always put the figure at a couple of hundred, 250, somewhere between 250 and 500. Very, very small. About 4 or 5 years ago, I did a conference and I decided I'd talk about the reptilian army, something that I'd done a bit of research and I couldn't find anyone else that talked about it. I didn't want to, you know, go down a subject that other people had gone on it, and there just was nothing on it. And I thought, well, maybe actually nobody's actually seen a reptilian army. They don't understand how they're organized, how they're brigaded together, what the command structure is, what their heraldry is. And thought, well, you know, I'll have a chat on that. So I did a conference and I talked a little bit about that, showed some drawings, explained how they operate and how they work. Most reptilian armies are small. Here on planet Earth, if you think about the Second World War, the Russians had something like 6 million troops, but maybe only 3.5 to 4 million were combat troops. Remember, 1 million were females, women, the only military force outside of Finland and Israel that used women in a combat role. So what we've got is a situation where an alien race, the reptilians, who did not require weapons against humans because their minds were so advanced, psychically, not spiritually, psychically advanced, didn't need weapons. How many genuine, true abductees or experiencers actually report weapons? They don't. Very, very few. And the reality is they're not needed, because the human mind has this trigger, which I've talked about, that's been placed in, particularly amongst the white race, to take control of that person. So they don't need weapons. So they don't need big armies. Now, when they're fighting others, they need larger armies. And I did talk about it, and the regiment or the brigade is 666. Of course it is, 666. Absolutely it is. This is where one of the reasons we get all this control nonsense through all these numbers that mean something to us in one way, but in another hidden way means something else. So 250 to 500 reptilians, backed up by a large number of worker greys, has for 1,000 years plus been quite adequate. But in the last 5, 6, 7 years, with the war that's occurred and the embargo on the planet, their forces have been reduced and dwindled. There is a sort of a standoff or a diplomatic agreement. So there are a number of bases that are left, but are not being taken out, because that is sort of the status quo at the moment. Thank you. It's a good question.
So just to clarify, when you say reptilians, do you just mean the Dracos and not the
Raptors? Yes.
That's different.
Right. I'm talking about the Dracos because they're the control element. There's a native reptilian force. I'm not even counting them, because they're neither negative nor benign. They're just independent. The Raptors actually are contracted to the US Navy, and there are a number of other groups that have status, but it's the control element and where our problems are coming from. So that's why I focused on that. Yes.
Okay, thanks. Peter asks, when can we expect your autobiography?
Well, that's a really interesting question. I've never even thought about it. I mean, I did actually roughed out a book. All the chapters are already written out. But I felt that that wasn't the right thing to do. That wasn't taking the news to the people. It wasn't interacting in an effective way. I think perhaps I really should do that. Autobiography, when we've won, when humanity can actually say that the control system that has held it down for God knows how many thousands of years has been overturned, and a much more fairer system has been placed, then I and many others can have a vocation. And maybe that's the time to do anything like that. But at the moment, every day is, you've got to fight for every day. I don't mean physically so much, but you know, every day is important, and can't stop, can't take a rest, have to achieve what we have to achieve. And so that's where we go with it, really. And this is the part now where I say a very big thank you to everyone who's so very kind and generously donated to keep the wagon rolling. So, got my list. Thank you very much to Nan, George, Nick, Natalie, Rodrigue, Sheena, Georgios, Marie, John, Martin, Robert, Natalie, Mark, Faison, Alfredo, Tony, Charlie, Robin, Shari, Beverly, Sylvester, Drumset, Margaret, Simon, Alejandro, Belle, William, Jennifer, Lucille, Danielle, Pietro, Greta, Alan, Alexander, Trish, nearly finished, Tom, Cayman, Isabel, Valerie, and Leslie. So a very big thank you. Thank you ever so much. So kind of you. It really does keep me going. It keeps me on air and keeps me doing what you want me to do. Thank you. Right, so hopefully we can get back with the questions. What's the next one, please?
Okay, this one is from Christian. Hi, Simon. One day, do you really think that the chip will be mandatory? And if so, because I'm afraid of how to avoid it, do you think the government will really use our information?
I think if we all hold the same views that we hopefully have, then the answer is no, it won't happen. Or at least it won't happen as we are talking about it. The problem with the chip is that it's just going to be sold as a labour-saving device. And you're quite right, it's a simple process to control us. So if human consciousness carries on in the road that we're going at the moment, it won't happen because people will reject it. The difficulty, I think, that we have is that it'll be shown as the way to link with whatever the economy is at the time. We may not be having money, we may have another form of barter and trade. But if this same cabal is in power, then yes, they will. If the cabal falls and we replace it with a much more supportive government or governments, then no, we won't have that chip at all.
Okay, thank you. Dear Simon, in the summer of 2017, the day after the solar eclipse, I encountered my first UFO experience in Cappadocia, Turkey, which is a mysterious place known for its unique landscape and underground cities. The UFOs, seen as blue and green lights, instantaneously responded to requests of me and my wife to pulsate, stop when moving, go into another direction. Any idea which group of ETs would be hanging around Cappadocia?
Huh.
Or maybe they were an inner earth group.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay.
And that's from Hacken.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for writing in. Remember that all alien craft, when visiting the earth, pulse themselves with an infrared light simply because we can't see an infrared. So that immediately tells you that they don't want to be seen. So when they come off that, the cloaking device, and allow themselves to be seen, they're doing it deliberately. They want to be seen. Now, the capability of these aliens is quite beyond anything that a science fiction book perhaps can put forward, is that they can connect with your mind. And so when people actually ask to be given a sign or show yourself, you know, if you're real, show me, and invariably, maybe 7 times out of 10, that's exactly what happens. A flying craft appears, does a few jigs in the sky, and then disappears again. That is deliberately designed to show you that they have answered your, not your prayer, but they've answered your request. You've asked me what group they are. I'd have to have a photograph of you, because in most cases, the group that shows itself is aligned to the soul that's in your body. So if you were Palladian, then we would assume that a Palladian craft has come to you. But I can't tell you that without looking at a picture of yourself. All different groups would be traveling in the airwaves above the earth. You can't say that one particular group is dominant over another in the space. What we can say is there are certain areas of the earth that are very sacred or have portals, and so one group would tend to use that area more. But if you were of a different soul group to that alien group, well, they wouldn't necessarily show themselves to you. So you can't say that that is the group that solely occupies the airspace. What we can say is that particular group chose to show itself to you, probably because there's some connection to you. I'm really delighted that that's happened. The sad thing is that a number of people see these things and they shake their head, they walk away, and they convince themselves they've seen a piece of space debris. If you have eyes to see and ears to hear and you are open-hearted, you will actually see it and understand it for what it was, and you did, and your partner did as well. That's excellent news, and it means now that you'll be on the lookout for them and you will start to see others. Remember that they move in a specific way, and they don't move in a straight line. They have this strange dipping, wobbling motion. Thank you. Well done.
Okay, thank you. This next question is from Jenny. It's quite long, but it's all part of one question. My son grew up and joined the army and served for 4 years. He had every immunization known in the army. He is now at university, and they have detected dyslexia as an adult. I am a teacher and never picked it up growing up, nor did any of his teachers. In fact, he did well at school. Apparently, according to the university, he is high in all areas except reading comprehension. It takes him longer to process the information. Do you think the immunizations had something to do with the dyslexia developing at a later age of 27? Could this be deliberate, like your experience, that so the soldiers can't be brainwashed?
I'm not quite sure about the last part of that. Soldiers can't be brainwashed, my experience. There are cases where a human male, particularly a male more so than a female, can actually develop dyslexia at a point approaching 30 years of age. How old did she say he was?
27.
Right, that's significant. And probably had nothing to do with the immunizations at all. What can often happen is that rootways or pathways in the brain, which have been operating what we might call normally, can just shut down because other areas of the brain are being activated. The system looks on dyslexia and many other forms as a disability, as something that's bad or something that's wrong. And those parents or carers or friends of people who have a whole range of these disabilities know that actually, although it's a disability because the third dimensional planet that we're on doesn't cater for those people, doesn't recognize the brilliance perhaps that exists behind the cover, and just engages with the obvious physical problems or engages with the obvious mental problems, there's no real work perhaps to understand what is hidden or contained within. So even a doctor, an official pharmaceutical doctor, couldn't actually put his or her hand on their heart and say, oh yes, this was because of that injection. Many things can come from these inoculations, but I have heard of other people who've not had the full range of inoculations. I have heard of them at the age of 30 two other cases actually where it happened. And in one case, it was a car crash. I don't mean a sudden death experience, but it was a bit of a shock, and something else happened. But sometimes an area of the brain can be switched off and another area comes on. And although with the dyslexia, there appears to be a drawback in some ways, there can be an advantage in others. So I just don't know is the answer, because I don't know the case and I haven't had the chance of meeting you. So that's my best answer, but thank you.
Okay, thanks. This question is from Jude, who says, when a person passes over and they have left a digital or other recording of their voice on video, on film, when those mediums are played, does this entrap the soul to the earth plane?
No. When you say left recording, I presume you don't mean that they pass on and then they manage to send a recording.
No, before, like on a phone message.
No, not at all. Remember that anything like that is done with the vocal cords, and that's 3D. When your physical body dies, it is the soul, which is an energy form that travels. The soul should not be connected or drawn to any physical matter. Now, we know sometimes that occurs. We could call a ghost who has a very strong connection to a piece of furniture in a house, or a strong connection to a person or a pet, and they cannot pass because they just can't bring themselves to leave that object behind them. And that is what we would call an entrapped spirit or soul. But because you leave a recording, no, think about all the actors and actresses who have done films on Hollywood, and they sing or they dance and they talk. I mean, you would have absolutely countless millions of people who would be trapped like that. No, the physical has no hold over the energetical. So please have no concerns about that.
This is a bit like in some tribes, people thought that if they had their photograph taken, that their soul would be, they'd lose a piece of their soul.
Yes, because it's a technology which appears to capture either a sound or an image of that person, and they think that a piece of that person is therefore held back. And that's not the case, because, as I've said, what physically stays here, stays here. Remember, your physical body stays here, and it's either burnt or buried, depending, and the soul goes off. So, no, it has no concern.
Okay, thank you. This next question is from Nick. Simon, the person who goes under the alias of Cobra or Cobra has been quite prevalent in recent times. Cobra speaks of the Chimera group and how they are one of the main reasons this planet isn't freed yet. According to Cobra, the Chimera group is at the top of the totem pole on the controlling side and consists of certain hybrid bloodlines incarnated into human bodies. Also said is that this group has defensive mechanisms consisting of toplet bombs to prevent liberation of this planet. Can you please comment on this information circulating the internet?
No, I've no knowledge on that at all. I remember someone a while back talking about toplet bombs. I thought they were a sweet until someone explained that it was not sweet, or candy, as we would say in America. There are sometimes a different name of group that comes around, and someone might say, have you heard of this group? And I will say, never heard of that. Then they'd show me a drawing or a picture, and I'd say, oh, I know that, that's this name. All I would say is that if you were to take as many genuine, true abductees and contactees, and you can do that by buying some decent books that are out there or going online, the enemy, if I can use that word, is repeatedly the same thing coming back. It's the reptilian, or it's the grey. These are the groups that are, the greys are the ones in your face, and the reptilians are generally the ones that are in the background. And these are the ones who have a lot to answer for and have held back humanity. There are a number of other groups that have played their part. Oh, look at that, two cats waking up. So that's Ingmar, the tabby cat who's just got up. And Ingmar is Norwegian and means famous son. And the white cat is Snøstjerne, which means snow star in English. Both Norwegians. And they're related. I know they don't look related, but that's uncle and nephew. So uncle is Ingmar the tabby, and Snøstjerne the white cat is the nephew. And that's why they will be together like that, because they are related, although sometimes they have a fight. But at the moment, they're obviously very happy. I try not to, but that's one of the things I've always tried, not to comment about individuals. And I've, again, tried to say, look, my information may well agree with many others, but in other people's cases, it won't agree. And I'm not here to say my rule is law and what I say is right and everyone's wrong. I've never, ever once said that. You know, my point is that I can give from the experiences I've had and the knowledge that I have. And there are other groups that I've never met. That doesn't mean they don't exist. All I'm saying, I think, in this case, is that I have never heard of toplet bombs outside of this particular point. And these individuals, I have never personally come across. And I think the number of people who have is quite small. It does not mean that they're not real and active. It means that they're either incredibly clever and they're puppet masters and they're behind the scenes and no one's really seen them, or they're not as prevalent, they don't play such a big role. My money, if we can use that word because we are on a third dimensional planet, my money is on the reptilians being the ones in control on a managerial day-to-day level. And then you've got the greys carrying out their instructions. You have the hybridized forms of Illuminati, who are the semi-human group who are controlling the planet from the financial side of it. And then you have AI above all of them trying to infect everybody. So that's the hierarchy that I have spent most of my life trying to look and understand and try to talk and warn people about. I think we've got time for one more question and then we've done our hour.
Yeah, and this question, there are a few parts, but it all ties into a lot of the topics we've talked today, so it's almost like a summary of the day.
Okay.
So this is from Sharon from New Zealand. Hi, Simon. Thank you for being you. You are valuable to humanity. My question is, can you tell the actual state of the planet, as there are many who think it's fine, but we are still getting chemtrails, we still have psychopaths in control acting like children playing war games, and now this 5G high-tech frequency network going in all over the planet. Many say it's going to be very harmful to humans, to our energy fields. Please, can you elaborate on these issues?
Yes, you're right. It does go back to the thread running through this and many others. We're not out of the woods yet. We have a long way to go, but at least we can see the sun, the dawn, rising. I think that's the best way to put it. People who have been in control and know no different than control and have not chosen to cross the tracks and to join humanity, they're terrified. Because they have no concept of doing or being anything other than what they have been for the last few thousand years. So what can they do in their mind than to fight and die? Because they have no eye view. I mean, you know, people will know my point on Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler didn't die in the bunker. Adolf Hitler made his escape to Argentina. But the popular notion was that he stuck his claws or fingers into the desktop table and fought to the bitter end. And that's because that's the way we tend to see the world. And there are a number of people who are very primitive in their understandings, and that's how they are behaving. That's why people who are more open-minded are saying, we've got to try and forgive people or give them a chance, because if you don't do that, then you are just basically telling them you might as well just fight to the end because there's no salvation here. So that was a really good question and deserved a reasonably long answer. So thank you for that. So we've reached the end of another hour. It does seem to go by very quickly. I used to do the 2 hours, but don't forget, I do the Ted Marr show, which is, I know some of you are finding it a little bit difficult to find, but it does go on to the site, and you can actually find that. So I'm going to leave you now and say goodbye, and goodbye from Snustiana, the white cat, and goodbye from Ingmar, the tabby cat, who seem to be so relaxed and happy. You know, you look at their lives and you think, wow, I would like to be like that. But then would I? Because they don't know about the Illuminati. They don't know about reptilians, or maybe they do, actually. But they don't know about the trials and tribulations and the decisions and the fights that we all have to go through every day. So what would you rather be? Would you rather be a person who's awake and aware, or would you rather be a cat? I guess as we reach retirement age, we'd probably rather be a cat. So listen, God bless you all, and keep you posted as best as I can. See you soon. Bye-bye.